Its name is synonymous with, well, that which is boring. This leads us to ask, what could possibly be exciting about plain vanilla?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Hello out there. You are tuned into the 524th edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Kuala Lumpur who are tuned in as we stream along in the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Dave Michaels on the boards and producer Carol Stafford on the phones. Folks, when I bought my first computer a long time ago, it was a display writer from the IBM Corporation. The salesman tried to get me to buy a whole bunch of add-ons, and no thanks, I said. I just want the word processor, and that's it. Oh, the salesman groused, just plain old vanilla. Vanilla has come to mean all that is plain and simple and, well, boring, I guess. This leads us to ask what could possibly be exciting about the real vanilla. Here to help us find an answer, we have the Vanilla Queen herself, Patricia Raine. Patricia, welcome to the Food Chain.
Thank you, Michael. It's lovely to be here.
Yes, and do you have anybody else you want to say hello to?
I certainly do. If any of the tropical commodities growers worldwide are listening in, they probably already know me. Hi.
How do they get to know you?
Well, I have a website at vanilla.com. The company is the Vanilla Company. And anyone who wants to know anything about vanilla or is attempting to sell vanilla or buy vanilla comes to my website.
Because you're the Vanilla Queen.
Because I'm the queen.
Well, there seems to be a place in the world where vanilla grows. It doesn't grow in Montana. there's vanilla latitudes. Where are the vanilla latitudes?
Well, the latitudes for all of our favorite tropical commodities, those luxuries that we take for granted and don't know a whole lot about, is between 10 and 20 degrees on either side of the equator.
Mm-hmm. 10 and 20 degrees.
It must be very moist and tropical. So you can't have a desert in that area and still produce these three wonderful crops.
So all three crops, and the three crops being?
Cacao, coffee, and vanilla.
Okay, those are our favorites for sure.
Yes.
Those
sugar also, we might add.
Sugar, right? And if you have sugar cane, boy, they all become really interesting.
Yes.
You know, when I was down in, the jungles of Peru, I had the opportunity to taste some ripe cacao beans. And, you know, you open them, and they're the cacao beans themselves are coated with this delicious liqueur. Oh, they're just extraordinarily delicious. Is vanilla like that, too?
No.
No.
It's one of those things that I think we have these romantic fantasies about mm-hmm. how various products must be. And people think of fields of vanilla redolent in the sun with this gorgeous aroma. In fact, vanilla is harvested just at the time that it's becoming ripe. It's a long pod, looks like a very large green bean. And what typically occurs is that as they become yellow at the tips, they're ready to harvest. They have no aroma and no flavor until they go through a months-long process of curing and drying. And then the beautiful oils come to the surface and they smell fabulous. But when the orchid has no aroma. The orchid only blooms for about 5 hours in one day, and then it dies.
The vanilla orchid?
The vanilla orchid.
Is it beautiful?
No. It's very plain. It's actually, it's sort of, I take that back. It's not ugly. It's just not what we think of, you know, as orchids that are, you know, we think of the gorgeous orchid that you wear to the prom or even the cymbidiums that right. have long stalks. These are very simple little yellowish green flowers that don't have an aroma, that bloom somewhere between 5 and 6 in the morning, are wilting by 10 in the morning, and are dead by 1 in the afternoon, unless they are accidentally pollinated by an insect pollinator or artificially pollinated by a human hand.
Wow. So it's the artificial pollination that makes the industry work then, right?
Yes, yes. Originally, vanilla comes from Mexico, the Caribbean, and the coastal regions of parts of Central America and South America. It was probably first discovered and used by the ancient Olmeca culture and the Maya culture, perhaps very close in time, the Totonaca culture, which is on the Gulf Coast of Mexico, also started using vanilla. And it wasn't used as a food. It was used from the beans that had dried on the vines. It was used as an incense. And the flower petals were ground and put in amulets to prevent the evil eye from bothering people. But it, until the time of
I could use some of that.
I think we all could at times.
Some of the evil eye. Yeah, yes. I'll take give me 2 bottles, please.
So then it wasn't until about, 600 years ago, 700 years ago, maybe a little longer, that people started consistently using it to flavor beverages in Mesoamerica. The Aztecs get all the credit. They were simply the bad guys who came down and caused problems for the indigenous cultures that were already there. And they forced the Totonac to tithe them the vanilla, along with a lot of other products that grew along the coastal region, which they could not produce up in the high plains of Mexico City, then known as Tenochtitlan. And so then, when the conquerors came, they tasted the vanilla with the cacao, and they thought, we'll take this home.
This is something to take home.
Yeah, right? this is worthwhile.
And I guess that's kind of how warfare things spread things around the world quite a bit. How is it that vanilla became kind of like the, the plain stepsister to the, you know, immensely popular coffee and cacao and cocoa, chocolate?
Well, I think one problem is that you don't drink a cup of vanilla and you don't eat a vanilla bar. So you don't use quite as much vanilla in anything as you would chocolate or coffee. So coffee and chocolate are produced in millions of tons of containers. I have the statistics.
Yeah,
I didn't bring them
huge,
with me, but it's enormous. Whereas vanilla, in a very good period of time, sells perhaps 2,300 metric tons worldwide.
Worldwide, so that's a
very small. Yeah. And the other big issue is that nobody has ever come up with a successful substitute for coffee or cacao, which we call chocolate. But there are substitutes for vanilla.
Artificial vanilla?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, despite its enormous popularity worldwide, only 2% of the foods and fragrances that we have available worldwide are made with pure vanilla.
And of course, if we're eating fake vanilla, we probably, our bodies probably sense that it's fake, and we probably lose our appetite for real vanilla.
Well, not exactly, but you're on the right track. We could lose pure vanilla, and this is a big concern of mine.
It's almost like tomatoes out of season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can get tomatoes out of season, but they're terrible. And so you kind of lose your taste for tomatoes when you eat tomatoes out of season. And I just think that if you're eating fake vanilla, you know, you probably run the risk of losing your taste for vanilla.
Well, this is a big issue. The difference between imitation and pure vanilla is that you pull one of the components that make up the flavor and fragrance bouquet of true vanilla, which is vanillin. Vanillin can be found in a lot of natural sources, mm-hmm. including ponderosa pine has vanillin as one of its components in the fragrance that you smell. Coal tar, amazingly enough. And regrettably, the Japanese have isolated vanillin in cow dung. And so the chemical vanillin is extracted from these various components. And
Don't tell me.
You don't even want to go there, but it's true.
I'm going to take a quick break on that one. Folks, this is the Food Chain. Michael Olson here. And, oh my goodness, I can't even believe this one. We're talking vanilla with the vanilla queen herself, Patricia Raine, author of The Vanilla Chef and Vanilla, The Cultural History. We're picking up on some cultural history and of vanilla. And though we're not able to take your phone calls today, we can always listen and talk with you on the Food Chain page, on the forum page at metroforum.com. So go click on there and you can talk with Patricia. We will be right back. Please do stay tuned.
Water users, you can reduce your need for water by 30% and more, grow healthier plants, and get rid of calcium carbonate deposits. No, not by magic. By installing an Aquamax catalytic converter in your water line that will induce epitaxial nucleation. Listen.
Hello, I'm Karen Kuhn. My father promised me that if I installed an Aquamax, that I could grow grass where I've never been able to grow grass, and it's the truth. Was bare and spotty and is now deep-rooted and healthy. It's wonderful. We use much less water, and the plants look absolutely beautiful.
You can reduce your need for water by 30% and more, grow healthier plants, and eliminate calcium carbonate deposits just by installing an Aquamax on your water line. No chemicals, no filters. Explore the possibility. Go to MetroFarm.com, click on the Aquamax Water Saver banner, and save. That's MetroFarm.com.
Welcome back, folks. This is the Food Chain. Michael Olson here. We're talking vanilla, plain vanilla, with a vanilla queen herself, Patricia Raine. Patricia, before we took this break, we were talking a little bit about artificial vanilla and the places that they're isolating artificial vanilla from, and you made mention of the fact that the Japanese are extracting the base compound for artificial vanilla from where?
Cow dung.
Cow dung.
It's pretty shocking. They have said that they probably won't use it for food purposes because it might offend some people. But this is the big issue. The imitation is pulled from the effluent of paper pulp. You see,
when we go out and eat artificial vanilla,
which is in most things,
which is used in 98% of mm-hmm. the vanilla flavored products, we're eating this. Who knows? That comes from who knows where?
Exactly.
Oh goodness!
And so, what are the problems that I've been very concerned about? For those of you who are serious about cooking or those of you listening who are growers, you know that between 1999 and 2004, we had the worst crisis in the vanilla industry ever.
That's over the last half decade. So
yeah.
This is very recent.
Yeah, it's very recent. The prices mm-hmm. have come down. And when they came down, they really crashed. But they were artificially very high, and that would take up a whole nother show. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about that a different time. But during that period of time, once vanilla reached $200 a kilo for the manufacturers to purchase, major industrial users of vanilla, which usually is ice cream, yogurt, things like that, they switched to a new generation of imitations, mm-hmm. some of which are made from beets. Beets have a lot of natural sugar in them, and they have vanilla.
Hopefully none of it was made from Japanese cow dung, right?
I think that's even more recent, so I think we were saved during that period.
So essentially, once the price of vanilla became so prohibitive or so expensive, they went to the artificials, which are made from who knows what.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what it's made
we
from.
We don't.
Because it can be made from so many different things,
and it
including
also
Japanese cow dung. And now it's cheaper for us to eat these wonderful new things that are.
Well, what was really disturbing to me is that the FDA created standards for ice creams. And if you were going to buy premium pure vanilla ice cream, it was supposed to contain premium pure vanilla. most of the companies got around that because the FDA has their plate full. They're not going after ice cream companies these days, by saying other natural flavors.
So,
and that was a way that they could get around saying pure vanilla. So,
what did they say then? I mean,
they would say, cream, sugar, other natural flavors.
Okay, so there would be no mention of vanilla.
No, unless, and here's the other way they can get around it. You buy a pint of premium vanilla bean ice cream from some of the most famous manufacturers.
Let me guess. It has three beans and other natural flavors.
No, it has the ground beans that they use in making extract that have already been used. They're called, in the industry, they're called exhausted beans, which they are.
Uh-huh. And then they use other
That to give the appearance of vanilla bean pieces in the ice cream.
So
but it has no flavor.
98 of the vanilla-flavored products that we consume are frauds.
Yeah. And how does this... This is how it impacts us. When the prices drop, as they have, and the local producer of beans in the tropics is making $1 a kilo or less for their efforts to grow these beans, this is before they're cured or dried, or is making $10 once they're cured and dried. Now, keep in mind, as I give you these statistics, vanilla is the most labor-intensive agricultural product in the world. So, you've got prices this low. Farmers cannot afford to grow it.
Mm-hmm.
If we become accustomed to the flavor of imitation...
Made from Japanese cow dung.
Exactly. And the families who are growing it cannot afford to grow it, what happens? We see increased domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
We see increased poverty, children not going to school, families not getting medical care, and a huge influx of immigration.
Let's go back to, before we get into the farmers to any great extent, I'd like to go back to the vanilla products, because I've always been a fan of vanilla. And, French vanilla ice cream, I love I love vanilla. But I'm...
Now you're wondering how much.
I'm wondering,
There are companies who are very good about putting vanilla in.
How do I find real vanilla product? I don't eat a lot of things,
Mm-hmm.
But when I do eat something, I like it to be real.
Mm-hmm.
If I have some vanilla ice cream, I like it to be real vanilla ice cream.
Yes.
Instead of made from who knows what. But how do I find real vanilla products?
Well, first of all, read the label when you're in the store.
Mm-hmm.
And there are several. Go to the premium vanilla ice creams first and check. And they will say either pure vanilla extract or pure vanilla flavor. And that's a good key. Locally, where we live, there are two ice cream companies that do use pure vanilla ice cream that sell. Go to Whole Foods.
Mm-hmm.
If a Whole Foods is around, there's a new product coming on the market called Choctaw. And it is unbelievable ice cream. It is so good. Mm-hmm. The owners are going around the world getting vanilla from different regions as well as cacao from different regions. So they'll have a Costa Rican vanilla and a Papantla, Mexico vanilla.
Okay, so kind of like coffee stuff, right?
Exactly. And this is what we're trying to promote more, is terroir, the regional flavors of the different products.
Mm-hmm.
And in that respect...
Which is, in saying terroir, you're talking about the whole notion of place that was born with the... with wine aficionados.
Mm-hmm.
Where did
Absolutely.
This wine come from? Where were the grapes grown?
And there can be differences.
Mm-hmm. And it's coming, it's coming into the rest of the foods as well.
Mm-hmm.
Cacao, vanillas, coffees as well.
Mm-hmm. I think, earlier you were almost touching on how did it become plain vanilla, which is a long story. We don't know absolutely for sure. But when you think about it, we almost always choose vanilla ice cream to go with birthday cake or holiday desserts. It's vanilla is the standard from which we work when we are using ice cream as an addition to right. something else. We might go for the fancier varieties, and the children love things, horrifying things I might add, like bubblegum ice cream. Mm-hmm. But they will almost always, people choose vanilla, which is why vanilla is, by a large margin, the most popular ice cream. So just check your labels if you don't want cow dung ice cream.
Okay. There you go, folks. Read the labels and really read them closely, because if you see something that says other natural flavors, those other natural flavors could very well have come from Japanese cow dung. Heck with that, right? And let's talk about, we started to talk a little bit about the areas, and we have a couple minutes left here before we take a break, but I want to go back to the areas in which vanilla is grown, and it's the same areas that coffee and cacao are grown, which is the tropics, right?
Yes.
How did you get introduced to the tropics?
I wrote a book about vanilla in 1985. Really, at the initial request of a friend. And like you, I was a total vanilla fan from the time I was a child, but I didn't know very much about it. And when I started doing the research, I was astonished. It has as amazing, diverse, and exotic a story as coffee and cacao. And so I wrote the book, and it would have ended there, except that the academic community discovered that I had written this book, and although my training was in anthropology, I was not an academic anthropologist.
Hold on to that thought. We're going to have to take a quick break. Folks, this is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. Today we're talking plain old vanilla, but it isn't really plain old vanilla after all. It's exciting vanilla, and we've got the exciting vanilla queen, Patricia Rain, with us. Today, Patricia is the author of The Vanilla Chef, as well as Vanilla, the Cultural History, and the proprietor of the Vanilla website, which is what, Patricia? Vanilla.com. And we will be right back. Please do stay tuned for some more plain old vanilla. Hey, we're back. This is The Food Chain. I am Michael Olson. We're talking vanilla with the vanilla queen, Patricia Rain. Patricia, we were talking a little bit about your introduction into the world. You got introduced by writing a book about it.
Yes, I was at that particular time, I was writing a series of...
It's amazing what you can learn when you write a book about something,
oh.
Right?
and this was pre-internet, of course, uh-huh. So I had to do... I had a lot of help from research librarians, and I will always have a special place in my heart for the work they do for us.
Amen.
But after the book came out, there was a program at the Academy of Sciences in San Francisco, and we're talking late 1980s at this point. And the anthropologist who put the program together on Foods of the Americas had no idea how popular food had become in California. She had just come from New Mexico.
Oh, okay.
And the program sold out 2 days after it went out to just the members of the Academy of Sciences. So out of that program, which I was one of the speakers and felt very much like the kindergartner in the room of very famous academics, a video was made, and it went around the world. And I was invited to speak at a program in Puebla, Mexico, where they were having a 500-year celebration of the crossover of the old and new world food traditions, again, filled with academics.
Mm-hmm.
After the program was over, I got on a bus and decided I'm going to Mexico to see where vanilla came from.
Finally getting
to do it.
I wrote a book about it. I've been speaking about it.
Yeah,
I'm
now I want to see
expert.
It.
Now I'm going to go see it, right?
Much to my absolute shock and amazement, the book had been taken by one of the chief buyers from McCormick and Company to this area of Mexico, and I was already a celebrity in this town. And I felt like Joanne Wilder in Romancing the Stone, for any of you who saw the movie, when she is caught between the Federales and the drug kingpin. And the drug kingpin goes, Joanne Wilder? La Joanne Wilder? Well, the same thing happened when I was taken out to meet the vanilla growers. Everyone went, La Patricia Rain, come in, I have your book, I want you to sign it. And they asked me, would I help them try to save the Mexican vanilla industry?
Wow.
And it wasn't quite
a job for you.
Yes, and I wasn't sure how I was going to do it. But we started by, I said, okay, you need a fax machine because I need to be able to get in touch with you. Now, remember, this is still pre-internet.
Right.
And so I bought them a fax machine in exchange for vanilla beans, which I then sold along with my books.
Mm-hmm.
And we both started on a journey together, which now incorporates farmers worldwide. I am representing tens of thousands or more farmers around the world, and we have a core group on a Google group where I set this up about a year and a half ago, and farmers around the world are now able to communicate via the internet about the issues of vanilla. And most of these farmers also have secondary crops. The ones who come to the Google group obviously need to speak English because we needed a lingua franca.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have to have access somehow to a computer. And for some, this means traveling several hours to a computer cafe.
To touch base,
yes,
with fellow vanilla growers around the world, actually.
And they are sharing information on the best ways to compost, the best ways to deal with the viruses and other plagues mm-hmm. that affect vanilla, how to market their vanilla more effectively. And we had our first conference in Mexico in May. The Mexican government sort of half-heartedly got involved when they found out that I was bringing in international speakers. But even they were stunned when they saw and that over 2,000 people came to this conference. We had only did this in only a couple of months, and the conference was simulcast in Spanish, English, French, and Totonaco, the indigenous language of the local growers. I insisted that it had to be free for everyone, that there had to be daycare available, and that there would be free food so the farmers, especially the poor indigenous growers, had access to coming to this conference. And farmers up in the mountains actually rented buses so that the groups could come down to this conference.
I bet it gave them quite a feeling, you know, to see so many fellow growers.
It was amazing. Wow. And the Mexican government said, who are all these people? And the Mexican said, welcome to the Mexican vanilla industry. So we're hoping to have another conference in Java in 2007. We are needing to collect money to develop a not-for-profit, get grants, and get seed money so that we have a representative from each country attending our conferences. And we are also setting up women's collectives to create value-added products.
You're a vanilla jihadist, aren't you?
We really are amazing.
Yeah.
It's very humbling to me. And I normally don't talk about this, especially on the radio, but because we're so deeply into this, I will. I was diagnosed with advanced breast cancer 3 years ago. I was told by my doctor that we hoped that I would respond well to the treatment, but effectively put my affairs in order and enjoy my life, which is a pretty big spoonful
sure.
of medicine, especially
sure.
it was Christmas season and we were very busy. When the farmers found out, and I needed to put out sort of a general notice to everyone because I get hundreds of emails at my site, that I would not be writing as frequently as I had been, that I was going to be dealing with treatment for cancer. All these farmers started to pray. They prayed in Muslim mosques, Hindu temples, Christian churches of all stripes, a whole school in Haiti, a whole village in Papua New Guinea. People calling me from all over the world. And I was so humbled and so deeply moved by the amount of love and what they could give back in generosity was just astonishing to me that I further dedicated my life, and I amazingly have been responding extremely well to treatment. And I give the farmers a great deal of credit for the energy that comes from intention. Whatever we choose to call it, that's really what it is energy and intention. They are keeping me alive, and so I'm not going to let them down. And I'm not letting down my two darling little grandsons, one of whom turns one next week.
Whew. Well, so what could possibly be exciting about plain old vanilla? Folks, this is The Food Chain. I'm Michael Olson. Today we're talking with the vanilla queen herself, Patricia Rain, author of The Vanilla Chef and The Vanilla, The Cultural History, also the proprietor of vanilla.com. Goodness, what a story this is turning out to be. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about vanillas, all of these vanilla things that are in front of me. That's what we'll talk about. Do stay tuned. Right back.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of MetroFarm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. MetroFarm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. MetroFarm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. MetroFarm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of MetroFarm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Welcome back, folks. This is The Food Chain. We're talking vanilla with the vanilla queen herself, Patricia Rain. Patricia, we have all of these wonderful vanilla products in front of me, and gosh, you know, I was happy with plain old vanilla ice cream. So what do you make out of, you know, what are some of these products? You have everything here. You gave me this wonderful bottle of pure Mexican vanilla extract. What do I do with that?
Well, there are all sorts.
I remember seeing bottles of vanilla in my mother's cabinet. You know, what do we do with a bottle of pure Mexican vanilla extract?
Well, my introduction, I was 5 years old when I started cooking. I was born to be a chef, I guess. And I started by making cookies, which is usually what most kids' first introduction to vanilla is around. And my mother gave me a 1 ounce empty bottle of Schilling. And I would just hold it to my nose and smell it. It was so amazing. And, of course, I didn't know to think tropics or anything else. I just felt intoxicated. And, in fact, it...
Tropoed.
Yes, and it is actually an intoxicant. They've done studies, and it has tremendous aromatherapy value, tremendous medicinal value, too. But going back to how to use it, we think of vanilla primarily in cookies, cakes, ice creams. But vanilla has remarkable qualities that bring up the flavors of most foods.
Ooh.
And using
that
vanilla...
Maybe that explains why vanilla ice cream is you know, the perfect base for
other things.
Every other
Absolutely,
thing, yeah.
Because vanilla has... The scientists have not analyzed all of the micro components that make up the flavor and fragrance. They've isolated well over 270, but it will probably come up to being closer to in the 500s to get all of those identified. But what vanilla does is it's a lifter. Chocolate by itself can be very one-dimensional, unless it has another flavor that lifts it, which is why cinnamon or orange or vanilla or raspberry or a lot of different things are used when, you know, you have a chocolate base.
Right.
But you can also use vanilla in making sauces for meats. You can use a little tiny bit of extract in vegetables to bring up their natural sweetness. And we're not talking spoonsful. We're talking drops with mm-hmm. vegetables. But with sweet potatoes, when you make your favorite sweet potato dish for the holidays, throw in some vanilla. You'd be amazed. Put it in beverages. I drink at night before I go to bed because milk helps with
rest. I'm ready to
rest.
Take a bath in it. Oh,
yeah, truly. Listen, and I have to say, when I'm talking about this, it is amazing, and you will find hundreds of recipes at vanilla.com. Mm-hmm. Our vanilla chef is dedicated to all things vanilla. And when you do buy these products from us, we are a woman-owned, women-operated, socially conscious company. And when you buy from us, it helps to support all the work that we're doing around the world because we're not making money from that.
Okay, let's go back to talking about what you're doing around the world because it truly is an amazing feat. In essence, you are the warrior queen of vanilla. And you're standing up for the ability of a lot of poor indigenous peoples around the world to, make a living growing vanilla. You're up against an industrial food system that has elected to put real vanilla aside and use fake vanilla, imitation vanilla, that can be made from just about a lot of different things, including Japanese cow dung. So how are you going to win this war?
We're doing several different things. First, my father was a very famous advertising and marketing man, so I grew up with this. I'm teaching
Which
them...
Which makes you an especially effective
yes,
warrior queen, right?
Exactly, because I'm teaching people how to effectively market pure vanilla in the countries of origin. So I am providing copies of The Vanilla Chef for cost plus a small percentage to just cover our costs mm-hmm. To sell with value-added products like extracts or even the beans to the tourist locations. Creating additional products like vanilla ornaments. We are starting women's collectives to do that in Uganda and in Mexico.
And are you using this marketing ability of yours to work on the sense of terroir
yes.
with respect to vanilla?
When I do speaking engagements. Now that I'm out of chemo again, mm-hmm. I will be out on the circuit doing talks. I do slideshows. And in fact, any of you who are listening, if you are interested, come to vanilla.com. Write to me at rain@vanilla.com. I do a complete slideshow. We can also do a wonderful food evening with a meal made strictly from vanilla, or we can do a dessert party with vanilla.
Cookies,
ice cream. Yes, all of the goodies. But I am encouraging all of you listeners not only to rethink how you use vanilla by coming to visit our site and increasing your use of vanilla, but also to encourage the companies that you most prefer to purchase from that they will use pure vanilla. And as we can get ourselves established with a grant to do a marketing campaign to promote pure vanilla worldwide, this is part of our goal. There are Bill and Melinda Gates are doing a lot for helping farmers find markets for their products.
Oh, good.
And
I'm going to have to take a quick break,
sure.
But I'd like to pick that up when we come back. Folks, this is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. We're talking plain vanilla, which isn't really plain after all, with a vanilla queen herself, Patricia Rain. You're invited to participate by logging on your comments at the forum page at metrofarm.com and also by visiting vanilla.com. We will be right back for the conclusion to this show right after these messages, so please do stay tuned. Hey, we're back. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here, talking vanilla with vanilla queen, Patricia Rain. Patricia, for the break, we were talking a little bit about marketing vanilla worldwide, and you're talking about Bill and Melinda Gates. What are they doing?
Well, Bill and Melinda Gates are doing a lot for a lot of countries. A lot of people think of them mainly being focused in Africa, but in fact, they are creating grants for growers who are in not-for-profit programs, which is part of why we need to become a not-for-profit soon, to help them market their products worldwide. And my hope is that I have some people I'm working with that we will start doing this next year, get ourselves as a not-for-profit. But in the last moments that we have here to talk, I want to encourage all of you, no matter where you live, to buy locally, if you can, whatever produce, meats, cheeses, dairy products that you can buy locally, support your local growers. When it comes to tropical foods, please look for products that either have the fair trade symbol, or you know they're a socially conscious program, or they are grown organically, because we really need to think about where our food comes from and support those who grow it for us. As our foods become increasingly processed and artificial, we're losing the joy and the beauty and the awe, truly, of truly beautifully, sustainably grown products. And while vanilla happens to be where my voice is largely heard, I'm truly a supporter of all people who are growing foods that feed us and nurture us, because without them, our world would be certainly very plain.
Amen to that. Food with its farmer's face on it. Patricia Rain, I guess the simplest way for those of us here in the United States to help sustain this community of vanilla farmers around the world is to buy products with real vanilla in it.
Absolutely. And if by chance you happen to be listening locally and this comes out soon enough, we are at the farmers market until Christmas on Saturdays at Cabrillo Market. Otherwise, you can come to vanilla.com, no matter where you live around the world, and we would be happy to help you with your vanilla needs.
So, in essence, the single most important thing we can do is to consume real vanilla. Right?
Absolutely.
Okay, folks, this has been The Food Chain. What fun! What on earth could possibly be exciting about plain old vanilla? Well, bring Patricia Rain into the studio and you get some pretty exciting stories. Patricia, thank you so much for joining us today. And thank you out there for joining us. Remember, you can always participate with us by logging on the forum page at metrofarm.com. And you can visit with Patricia by going to plain old vanilla, vanilla.com. Thank you all so much for joining us.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.